Did you have a good New Year's?
Yeah.
Okay, 8 people in this section had a good New Year's. I'm sorry you guys didn't have a good, or you're just super quiet about your New Year's. Like, I'm not telling you how my New Year's was. I was talking to a lot of people, and the older I get, the more people went to bed at 9 o'clock than I've ever heard of before. I guess the older you get, the less you can care about what happens in Times Square. Happy New Year. It is a new year. It's a new decade. It's 2020. We're excited. Things have been really exciting. I think God likes New Year's. If you read your Bible from cover to cover, he's always telling people to take note of a certain day and then remember that day and remember what God did. Now, granted, we use the Gregorian modern calendar and God was using the Hebrew calendar of old, but the point is, I think God likes New Year's. I think God likes certain dates and times. He likes when we celebrate new beginnings. He likes when we have a new chapter in our life, when there's a fresh page. We don't have to live in last year. We can be a new version of ourselves. It's a new you, a new beginning. It's an uncommon version of year. I want to just stop right here and say that we are in 21 days of fasting and prayer. This is the 5th day of January, so it's day 5. I want to thank you personally for all of you that have been fasting and praying for these 21 days. It means the world to us that you would partner together as a church family. I like when we come together and do these kind of things. It makes me very proud of you. It makes me very proud of our church. So if you are visiting or whatnot, so for the first 3 weeks, for the last several years, we've done this every year. We take the first 21 days for special times of prayer. So what we're doing is, instead of coming here to the church, because we've got some people that live like in Justin and some people that live in McKinney, and you know, instead of having to drive here at 6 in the morning for daily prayer, we're doing it live on Facebook and Instagram. It is at 6 o'clock in the morning. I know that's a sacrifice, but sometimes you've got to do things you've never done before to see God do things he's never done before in your life. And sometimes it takes that sacrifice. So we had 150 people log in on January 2nd, so that for the first time we did this. This morning we only had about 80. So I don't know, I guess y'all were sleeping in. But my point is, we're going to do it every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning until the 21st. And then I hope that that's not the only time you pray this year, but hopefully that'll be a good kickstart for the rest of your year and your life of prayer. So my kids have been getting up, so parents, go ahead and wake up. I guess give them the option, but mine have been choosing to get up. They haven't been on camera because they ain't camera ready yet, but they've been there on the couch, man, praying. And we're emailing out daily prayer points. So if those are going out by email at 5 in the morning, and then on Facebook and Instagram, we'll give you the prayer points to follow along with as well. But I just want to say thank you. It means the world to me so much. And also, those of you that have been reading your Bible with the Read Scripture app, are you really enjoying that, enjoying those videos? Is that good? It really helps bring the Bible to life, doesn't it? So if you're not, if you have a Bible plan, dude, don't worry about it. But if you don't have a good Bible reading plan where you're in the Bible every single day, go ahead and pull out your phone, download the Read Scripture app, and start today. I mean, you can just start on day 1. We'll be on day 5. You'd be a couple days behind us. But it is so good. And it really helps to break down the scriptures in a way that it's easy to understand. The little videos that set up certain things, they're so helpful. You are going to love reading through your Bible this year. So I just want to say thank you so much for doing that. You know, I think that the Lord really likes when we turn over a new page for a new year and we refocus ourselves. We kind of retool ourselves. And I think it honors the Lord when we spend 21 days in prayer and fasting. I think it shows God, dude, we're serious. I ain't playing around. I'm serious about my walk with God. I'm devoted to the Lord. I'm focused on the uncommon God. And when we go through seasons like this of 21 days of special, intense times with the Lord, it raises the bar of faith. Too many times in the church, the bar gets lowered. What is the lowest common denominator of what I can get away with? What will God not get mad at me about if I can still do and get away with? I think we should be raising the bar of holiness, raising the bar of faith, raising the bar of service, raising the bar of giving, raising the bar of loving other people well. So these times of sacrifice, they help to raise the bar, that it creates a new ceiling that can be the new floor for 2020. It's like we can go to levels we couldn't go to because of these 21 days. And some people say that they struggle with like performance, and they struggle with like the pressure to do 21 days. They feel pressured into fasting. Listen, yes, we are running our race and we're running as hard as we can run. God set this course before us, so we run the race. The Apostle Paul said, we are like athletes spiritually. We're like athletes and we beat our bodies into submission while we train for this marathon, while we train in the kingdom, in our passion, in our focus on him and our holiness with that fire of God. But here's the deal. We don't need to strive. Striving in the natural will never get you anywhere. Jesus wants us to run the race, but he wants us to finish the race, not burn out in 3 weeks, and not to be pressured into doing it. We should want to fast and pray and push ourselves, not that you feel like you have to. In fact, you don't have to read your Bible cover to cover in a year. The Bible app will take you through your Bible in a year, but nowhere in the Bible does it say you need to read your Bible cover to cover in a year. It's good. It's a good exercise. What we're called to do, though, is to meditate on Scripture. We're actually going to read that here in just a minute. We're called to meditate on Scripture, not speed read it. So even when you're doing 15, 20 minutes a day, slow down and meditate on what the Bible says. Even fasting. Fasting is a good discipline. I talked to you last week for 30 minutes about fasting. I read you scriptures on the importance of fasting. And Jesus said, you need to fast. It's good for you to fast. All this extra time in prayer, because you're not cooking food. You've got time to spend more time in prayer. But it's not meant to be a burden. It's actually meant to bring freedom and to bring joy. So if you're the kind of person that, like, you hear sermons like this or you hear things about fasting and prayer and it feels like it puts a heavy weight on your shoulders, bro, let me just go ahead and lift that weight off of your shoulders, because we're not doing this to put a heavy burden on you. We want you to run a marathon, not a sprint. We want you to run after Jesus, but this is going to take a while. It doesn't have to all be done in just a few weeks. All right. All that was a little bit introductory. We're doing good on time. I've got a short, sweet message. I've got a Happy New Year message. Would you like a little Happy New Year, right? It's just kind of just 7 points on how to have a great year. How about that, somebody? Does that sound good? Yeah. 7 points on how to have a great year. I can guarantee it from Scripture. We're going to go into Joshua chapter 1, but if you're not a Bible person and maybe you haven't read you haven't gotten to Deuteronomy yet, where we go from Deuteronomy into Joshua, let me set the story up. Moses was the great leader that God used to deliver the people of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt. And they went out. It's the whole, you know, Prince of Egypt, Pharaoh story. Most people know it. If not, you'll get to it in a few weeks' time in your Bible reading. And we get to the edge of the nation of Israel. We're up against the Jordan River. Moses is an old man, and he has led the people for 40 years to this point, to this moment. He's got an assistant, a vice Moses named Joshua. He's this younger guy who Moses is about to turn leadership of the nation of Israel over to Joshua. And then Moses dies right there at the edge of the Jordan River. He's not going to go into the nation of Israel. So now Joshua, this younger leader, is in charge of these millions of people, and he's going to take them into the promised land. There's going to be some battles. There's going to be some easy things. It's going to have high highs and low lows, but Josh is the one who's in charge. And it's sort of like at the Jordan River and at Joshua chapter 1, it's sort of like a New Year's. It's sort of like at the beginning of something. God, endless possibilities of what God could do through the Jewish people, endless possibilities of what God could do in your life. But Joshua had to seize the opportunity. We have to seize those opportunities that God's going to give us in 2020. What God wants to do in your life this year is not going to happen passively. You have to be actively engaged in what the will of God is for your life. So Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, I'm going to read the story and then I'll go down and we'll break out these 7 points. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you, Joshua, to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot will be land that I've given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Don't turn to the left or to the right, and then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything that is written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So that's the charge that God gave to Joshua to take the nation of Israel into the land of Israel. That's the charge that God gives New Life, that God gives Uncommon to charge into 2020. It's a new year. It's like I think a lot of times at New Year, we look back at our old year and we think, man, did I accomplish the goals that I wanted to accomplish? Did I become a better version of myself? Did I grow closer to the Lord? I think we get a little reflective at these times of year. And then we look forward to a new year and you think, how can I make the most advantage for 2020? How can I become the better version of me, the best version of me in this new decade? I want to take advantage of every moment in my life. So I'm going to give you 7 points on how to have a great year. Number one, let go of the past. Let go of the past. We'll go back and read Joshua 1:2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Man, put a little sugar on that, would you, Lord? Like, he just like, hey, I know that this guy's been a father figure to you. I know he's been your head coach, but the dude is dead. So get up and lead these people across. Like, get going. Sometimes we allow our past, good and bad, to derail our future. And when you're moving forward, you don't look in the rearview mirror. There's a reason why the windshield is gigantic and the rearview mirror is tiny. You only need to glance in the rearview mirror to go, all right, that's where I was. Look out of the windshield of 2020 and say, this is where I'm going. This is where God's leading us. And although it was sad, you know, Joshua just buried his spiritual father. He buried the guy that mentored him for all these years. But the Lord's like, sorry about you. It's 2020. We got to move on. We're not going to get anywhere by just sitting here at the river's edge and looking at where we think God's called us to go and belly button gazing about, well, it sure was nice when Moses was in charge. And like, no. The Lord's like, hey, dude's dead. Get past 2019. Let's let go of all of what happened before back then because we've got a lot of ground to cover. So you, as you look forward to 2020, let go of the past. Let go of failure. Let go of sin. Let go of pain. Let go of unbelief. Let go. People probably hurt you in 2019. Let it go. Let it go. Just let go of the past. And let me also say this. Who you were in 2019 will not define who you will become in 2020. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we allow mistakes, we allow failure, we allow sin of our past to derail our future, but we don't have to. What we can do is course correct in a New Year's time, and we can set our hope and our setting on good things. God's going to do good things in our life. Now that's for, sometimes we think of it in the negative. Sometimes there's even positive. God did great things in our church in 2019. God did great things in your life in 2019. I'm not saying that everything in the past is bad. A lot of times our past is good and it got us to where we are today. It got us to this level of faith. But here is the problem. So when we're looking forward with anticipation and with faith for what God's going to do in the future, sometimes we will allow the victories in our past to limit what we can believe God for the future. Here's an example of that. We saw 220 people give their heart to Jesus here at New Life in 2019. Amen. So this year, we're believing God for 300 people to get born again. So over on this wall over here, you see that we've spelled out the word Jesus in 300 and, well, what will be 9 light bulbs. We miscalculated and had to order more on Amazon. They'll be here tomorrow. So every time in the year 2020, at the end of a service, when somebody prays to make Jesus the Lord of their life, either for the first time ever or the first time in a long time because they've walked away from God, they're going to raise their hand. They're going to pray that prayer. And then at the end, they're going to come down over here and grab a light bulb, write their name on the light. It's an LED light bulb. Write their name on the light bulb and then screw it in. And then by the end of the year, there's going to be 309 people that gave their heart to Jesus. Yeah. I'm so excited about that. So far, nobody has given their heart to Jesus this year, and that's not okay with me. I want to see that sign totally filled up. I'm not going to lie. I'd love to see that sign filled up by June or July. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we've got to be inviting unchurched people. Don't just invite church people to church. Invite unchurched people to church. You know what I'm saying? The sick and the hurting are the ones that need a doctor, not the healthy people. Leave church people in their churches. Tell them to serve more and give more and love more wherever they are. You know what I'm saying? Go after the lost. Go after the people that don't know Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you're not right with God, in about 20 minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, repent of your sin, and make Jesus the Lord of your life. And it might be the first time in your whole life that you've prayed that prayer. It might be the first time in a long time. But I want you to pray that prayer. Coming down over here, you can be one of our first people to write your name on it and screw in a light bulb. We're going to fill in that sign. 309 people are going to give their heart to Jesus here this year. But here's the deal. Sometimes our past, even victories, will limit what we can believe God for the future. So we have to open up the expectations that God can do anything. Number two. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2, the Lord said, lead these people across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. I promised you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, that's going to be land that I have given you. That's going to be land I have given you. So you had better get busy. Get busy. What was number two, y'all? What did I write down? Was it get busy? Get moving. Get moving. Don't just sit there like, I almost said on your blessed assurance. Don't just sit there and watch other people march into 2020 with the call of God. God has a call on your life, so get moving. The vision of our church is to know God, grow strong, and then do what God's called you to do. You've got to do what God has called you to do. So a hammer has a very specific purpose. It was created to hammer things. A paintbrush has a very specific purpose. Think of a car engine. It works well when it's being used. You put a car engine up on blocks and let it sit for 50 years, it'll probably seize up and won't be able to be used anymore. You were designed by God to be used. You have a purpose, so get moving in the call of God on your life. God told Joshua, hey, you've got to move across this river into the land. You've got to get out of this desert and into the promised land. You've got to do what I've called you to do. Get busy. Get moving forward in what you were created for. So if you're not serving on a dream team, start serving on a dream team this month. If you're not involved in a life group, at the end of this month, we're going to unveil all of the new, I was going to say life groups, but I guess they're uncommon groups that'll be all over our region, and get plugged in. Maybe you need to lead a small group. And you need to be a leader in a small group. Go on a missions trip. Give more. Love more. Serve more. Get moving in the call of God on your life. Joshua and the people of Israel, they had to put the sole of their foot across that river into the land of Israel. And the Lord said, wherever you put the sole of your foot, I'm giving you that land. This is mine. This is mine. This is mine. God's given me this. God's given me this. Everywhere you walk in 2020, God's given you. Think of it this way. It's like the kingdom of God is a country, but it's a kingdom. And he has made you an ambassador of that kingdom. And wherever the ambassador goes, especially, you know, within the embassy compound, that is sovereign land for wherever the ambassador is. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Wherever you walk and wherever you lay the sole of your foot, you are demonstrating, you are the physical representation of the kingdom of God on the earth. So move forward, advance the kingdom of God wherever you go. Take the kingdom of God to the water cooler, to the dog park, to the grocery store, to the family reunion. Take the kingdom of God with you wherever you go. Take a step forward, move forward, because God's going to give you dominion wherever you move out. You won't have dominion over places you never walk into. Number three, find your lane. Find your boundaries. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 4, you're going to go from the Negev in the wilderness to the Lebanese mountains, to the Euphrates River, to the Mediterranean Sea, including all the land of the Hittites. The Lord outlined for Joshua and the people of Israel, go get them, tiger. This is all for you. He gave them borders. He gave them boundaries. Because I think sometimes we hear the call of God and we get inspired and it's like, yes, Lord. And we look at all of the problems in the world. We look at all of the homeless. We look at all of the nations of the world. We look at all of the lost people in the world. And we're like, bro, that's way too much for me to do. Listen, God isn't asking you to do everything. He's only asking you to do something. So find out what borders God has marked out for you and then start running into that place that God has called for you. You know what I've noticed with kids? When kids have some boundaries and some borders, they actually play better. All right, you know, you guys can go play, you can go on your bikes and terrorize the neighborhood, but don't cross Oak Street, don't cross the creek, and definitely don't cross that fence, you know, at Mr. Henderson's yard. You have these three blocks to go crazy. And then kids go tearing off on their bikes and all around the neighborhood. But when you give no boundaries, when you give no borders to kids, that's usually when they get into trouble. But we find freedom when God gives us borders, when God gives us boundaries. Go exploring. You have freedom. Go crazy, but you have these boundaries. So everything we do for Jesus. But we don't have to do everything for Jesus. We just have to do something. So sometimes we feel like we're in a place where we don't have any freedom, but God has given us freedom. We just have to step out. You don't have to serve on every dream team. Just serve on one dream team. You don't have to give all of your money. Just be generous in the tithe and in the offering. You don't have to like every meme that your grandma posts on Facebook, that if you like this Jesus meme, you'll get eternal life. But maybe just like one once in a while so grandma knows that you didn't unfollow her. Help a girl out. She doesn't know. She thinks if you like that meme of Jesus, you will go to heaven, and she's worried about you. And I know you have ghosted her and you've unfollowed her, but you're still friends. She doesn't know that. So pull out your phone, type in your mom's name and your grandma's name or whoever posts those memes, and just like one of those weird Jesus memes once in a while. Figure out what God's called you to do and do it. Number four, keep the faith. Keep the faith. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Nobody will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Well, wow, why is that? Because I will be with you. I'll be with you. I'll not abandon you. I'm not going to fail you. God says, I'm going to help you. I know I've asked you to do a big thing, but the Lord says, I'm going to be with you. You know, it's like when your kid, a couple years ago, we used the example where Nevaeh did the trust fall into her father's arms, and she had to trust her father's voice, yeah? Sometimes it takes a lot of faith that God is going to catch us when we take a leap of faith. And God told Joshua, listen, people, they're going to try to stand against you, but I'm not going to let them. You will face some trouble, but it's not going to crush you. You're going to lead these people into battle, but you're going to win. Keep the faith. God says, I've got your back. Now, here's the funny thing. Remember that Joshua was around serving Moses earlier, years earlier, when the nation of Israel, they sent 12 spies into the promised land. And then the spies came back and said, bro, it's bad. There's giant warriors. Their cities have huge walls. There's no way our little nation is going to be able to conquer this huge, powerful nation. So Joshua knew what was facing them on the other side of the river. But he knew there was going to be some battles. But God was saying, have faith. This is my will for you. Even though it's a difficult road, I am with you. I will not leave you. You're going to hear the devil wandering around roaring like a roaring lion, but I will not abandon you. You'll never be alone. I will never fail you. I know that sometimes it's hard to keep the faith when our emotions begin to freak out, which leads to number five. Monitor your emotions. Keep your heart in check. Keep your emotions in check. Joshua 1:6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to your ancestors. Have you ever doubted that you're the right person for the job? Maybe you got hired and you're like, oh, I didn't know I was going to get this job. I didn't know I was the right person for the job. Or you have a kid and you're like, oh, crap, I didn't know I was going to be a parent at 21. Cool. Hope I don't mess this little person up, you know? Or you're leading a life group and you're like, wow, I didn't know all these people were going to come to my little life group. Or you're leading a dream team and it's like, well, the team started with 12 and now as the church has grown, now I guess I'm a pastor of like 40 people on my dream team. Do Brad and Josie know me? Like, am I in the wrong job? Like, imagine Joshua. He was always Moses' assistant and the Lord's like, all right, you're in charge. And Moses was this like world famous rock star leader, and Joe was probably like, I don't know if I'm the right guy for the job. He was probably looking at his own shortcomings, at his own fears. He was looking at his own sin and his own failure, and he was trying to disqualify himself. Joshua grew up in a tent. He grew up like in an RV in the desert. Like, he didn't go to Bible college. He didn't have a college degree. He didn't even have like a Yahweh badge and be like, listen, I am the leader of the people of Israel, so do what I say. Mo was this famous leader with all these followers and all these Instagram followers. Joe wasn't even verified. And he's supposed to like lead the whole nation. But God was saying, listen, trust me and trust the call that I have on your life. Because you can't let your fears and your doubts keep you out of the ministry. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to roar and then just you disqualify yourself from ministry. You see what I'm saying? Don't allow your emotions to disqualify you from ministry. We are the only ones that know our innermost thoughts. We're the only ones that think we shouldn't be doing what we're doing. People look at us and we're like, hey, I'm so glad that they're leading the dream team. I'm so glad they're my life group leader. I'm so glad this the Brad's our pastor. You don't know that we're just faking it till we hoping we make it. We look like a graceful swan above water, but man, I'm freaking out underwater. Like, I don't know how we're gonna remodel this campus. I don't know how we're gonna raise $7 million. I don't know if anybody's gonna pray with us. Dude, when 150 people logged in to pray with us at 6 a.m. the other day, I was so moved. It was about 150 people that came to prayer on Wednesday night. And that was so, we've never had that many people come pray with us. We're gonna do it again Tuesday. Hey, come out Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. We're gonna pray. How about that? I might shock you. We do it every Tuesday. So, not just the first 21. But don't lose the battle in your mind, which leads to number 6. Stay focused. I ain't mad, I just focused. Joshua 1:7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful. Success will not find you in 2020 until you do what God's called you to do. And until you stick to God's plan for your life. But if you stick to God's plan, you will be successful. The Lord didn't say, hey, you're not gonna face any battles. He didn't say you will have no trouble, but God's overall plan for your life is one of good. How? How do we know it's good? If we obey God's instructions, if we stay focused. We don't turn to the left or the right. We stay focused on Jesus, focused on worship, focused on prayer, focused on Bible study, focused on holiness, focused on maturing in our faith and focusing on ministering to others, that we would be strong, that we would be uncommon. It takes courage to be uncommon among the common man. It's easier to think like the world, believe like the world, act like the world. It's easier to swim with the fishes when everybody's going the same direction. It's harder to be like, no, I'm gonna be uncommon. I'm gonna love God. I'm gonna believe the Bible to be true. It's harder. It takes courage and strength to be uncommon in a common world. Did you notice that God told Joshua in verses 6, 7, and 9, Joe, be strong and courageous. Over and over and over again, he's encouraging, he's challenging us to be strong and courageous. You don't need courage to stay the same as you were in 2019. You need courage to do something uncommon. You need courage to move forward. I put this image of these ships behind us. It doesn't take courage for a ship to be tied up in the harbor. It takes courage to throw off the lines and venture out into open waters where God's plan for your life is. Ships weren't made for harbors anyway. Ships were made for the oceans, for the storms. But you have to throw off those lines that you feel like you have to have when God's calling you out into uncharted waters. You were designed not to be common, but to be uncommon. You're not meant to be an ordinary Christian. You're meant to be uncommon in your walk with God. And God is waiting. So many times people are like, well, I don't really feel the power and presence of God, and because God's waiting for you on the other side of the marina. Come on. You've never stepped out in faith, so you've never had to trust him in faith. So he's like, dude, come on. I've got all my power, all of my presence, but I just need you to untie those lines to this world and come out into deeper water. Number 7, the last thing that's gonna help you have an amazing year, a great year, a huge year. Number 7, study the Bible. Did you see it in verse 8? God told Joshua, study the book of instruction continually. If you've got a paper Bible, just circle or underline the word continually. And then the next word, meditate. Meditate on the scriptures day and night so you will obey everything that's written in it. And then here's another catch. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. God is literally saying, the Bible is the instruction manual for your next year. The Bible is your instruction manual for 2020. And you will not succeed this year unless you are a person that meditates on the scriptures. So if you haven't already, download the Read Scripture app and start reading your Bible today. If you don't have 50, it takes about 15 or 20 minutes a day, depending on your reading style. If you don't have 15 or 20 minutes a day to read the Bible, then just read half of each day and take 2 years to read the Bible. It says to meditate on the scriptures, not to speed read them. Meditate on God's word. It is like daily bread. And we have so many Christians in the world today that are starving, that are emaciated because they don't know the Bible. They don't know the word of God. They know more what Lady Gaga thinks than what God thinks. You know what I'm saying? Well, I guess I was born this way. Well, that's not what God says. That's what Gaga says. Don't get the two confused. But you have to know what God says by studying and meditating on the scriptures. And many times, this cracks me up. People are like, oh, preacher, we just don't have time to come to church every Sunday. It's an hour and 15 minutes. Are you that freaking busy? That's amazing. I don't know if I can say freaking like that. I'll probably regret that later. I'm too busy for church. I'm too busy for 30 minutes of prayer in the morning. I'm too busy for 15 or 20 minutes of Bible reading. I only have time for Netflix. I only have time for a 3-hour football game. I only have time for Insta. I only have time to go shopping. I ain't got time for all your Jesus stuff. Listen, this is, I didn't have a number 8, but here's number 8. You gotta make Jesus your priority. You gotta make the main thing the main thing. We waste a lot of time. And I think that's the plan of the devil, not God's plan for our life. We waste a lot of time. Can I just give you, I wrote down my priorities. I know I'm not super spiritual. I don't do this right every day, but this is what I aim for, okay? My number one most important relationship is my relationship with God. It supersedes everything else. My relationship with Jesus supersedes my relationship with Josie, but my number two most important relationship is with my wife. More than my kids, more than my friends, more than anything else in the world, Jesus, Josie, and then my three kids. My three kids are more important than my work. My three kids are more important than my church. I know that sounds sacrilegious as a pastor, but my kids are the most important thing. They're like a priority in my life. And then this is the next thing. I know this is gonna sound unspiritual. The next most important thing to me in my life isn't even the church. It's advancing the kingdom of God wherever I go. Where I'm not a part of just one church, I'm a part of the church, and I wanna see people saved all around the world, not just here. My fifth most important thing in the whole wide world is this church and you people. I think about you every day. I pray for you every day. You are on my mind all day, every day. When I go to sleep at night, I'm thinking about this church. I probably should spend more time thinking about Jesus, Josie, Joy, Josh, and Jordana than you, but I spend a lot of time thinking about you. This year in 2020, you gotta make the main thing the main thing. Oh, by the way, like your work, that can come in somewhere like, church is my work, so that's my number 5. Your work is allowed to come in, but some fellas, we make our work our number 1 or 2. No. Jesus, spouse, kiddos, the kingdom of God advancing in the earth. All right, hop up on your feet. The Bible is your instruction manual. Do not try to live your life without it. Let me also say this. We are running this race. It is a marathon, not a sprint, but Jesus is the finish line. You know what I'm saying? When we die and go to heaven, it's not so that we've built a church, especially a building. You guys know that, right? If you're new to church stuff, this building that we're wanting to remodel, that's not the church. You are the church. The church is flesh and blood. The church is the people that you're standing next to right now. That's the body of Christ that we call Uncommon. This building is just sheetrock and steel and chairs and carpet. That's not the church. It's a place where we meet, but it's not the church. But when we die, we don't die for the church. We die and we go see Jesus. Jesus is the finish line. He is the one, that's why we fast, to discipline our bodies, to make our spirit man strong. That's why we pray, to strengthen our spirit man so we can pursue, so we can know Jesus better. If you didn't catch last week's message, I strongly encourage you to catch it. There's some very important truths on prayer and fasting that I think every believer need to hear. So if you missed last week, please go to our media page and pick up that message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you and I love your name and I love to spend time with you and I love to spend time in your word and I love to spend time in prayer. But God, more than anything, I just want to see your kingdom advanced on the earth in 2020. I want to see at least 309 people born again this year. I want to see all of these men and women passionately pursuing you in an uncommon way, with uncommon worship and uncommon faith and uncommon love and uncommon desire to see the kingdom of God on the earth and right here in these mid-cities. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray that you would strengthen them. Lord, I pray that they would be strong and very courageous. I pray that they would untie the lines and they would venture out into the deeper things of God. I pray, Lord, that they would venture out to know you more intimately and deeply, to serve you passionately. With every head bowed and every eye closed in prayer, if you're here this morning and you're not right with Jesus, you're going into 2020, but in your heart, Jesus is not the Lord of your heart. You're going into 2020, but you've never repented of your sin and made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you've wandered from your faith. You've allowed unbelief, you've allowed sin back into your life, and you're like, dude, no. I'm starting 2020 by getting right with God. I'm gonna repent of my sin. I'm gonna make Jesus the Lord of my life all over again. I'm gonna be a light bulb on that Jesus wall over there. I'm gonna be one of the 309. So this might be the first time in your life you've ever prayed this, or the first time in a long time. But the Bible says in Romans 10:13 that everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Saved from death, saved from your sin, saved from hell. And you will receive Jesus as the Lord of your life, the Lord of your heart. He'll wash away your sin. In fact, he'll take your old life and he'll bury it and he'll give you a new life. It's what the scriptures call being born again. If you believe that Jesus is Lord, you believe that he is the only way to know God the Father, and you believe that he can wash away your sin if you ask him, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Now, I don't know who I'm praying for, so I would like to know. If this is the first time in your life or the first time in a long time, would you shoot your hand up real high and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to get right with God today. I'm starting 2020 off by repenting of my sin and making Jesus the Lord of my life. I see your hand and I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Come on, somebody. Good. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whether you were one of those that raised their hand or maybe you just felt chicken, why don't we all pray this prayer together? Say it out loud if you believe it in your heart. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. I repent and I turn to you. Wash me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive the gift of eternal life. I believe that you are Lord, and I thank you for your love for me, for forgiving my sin, for the cross, and for the empty tomb. Jesus, I love you. Oh, let's say that again. Jesus, I love you. I need you in my life. Help me in this walk of faith. In Jesus' name, what you say? Hey, for you two that gave your heart to Jesus, and for those, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.